Stories like the following story I'm about to say are happening far too often in the homes of teenagers. One mother said this: "The other night I walked in the kitchen where my 13-year-old daughter was hunched over her geometry book. Doing homework, sweetie?" I asked, innocently enough. Matilda looked up, rolled her eyes, and in a voice dripping with sarcasm, said, "No, Mom, I just love reading about tessellations in my spare time. What do you think?" A long discussion followed, or rather a pointed lecture about respect and a half-hearted apology. Case closed, sort of. Eye-rolling, heavy sighs, and even back-talk are all hallmarks of a bad attitude in teenagers today. It's more than just irritating, and nothing does more damage to a home and that relationship with the parents than a teenager's responses and attitudes towards them. A bad attitude can ruin anybody's day. And at some point, every teen drives their parents absolutely nuts with their attitude. And the symptoms include, but are not limited to, the classic eye roll, the angry outburst, the sarcastic retort, the very loud and long sigh, the cold shoulder, the hot temper, or the look your child gives you that declares, "I think everything you're saying right now is completely ridiculous." How many have ever been there? You have that thought. Everything you say, Mom and Dad, is completely and utterly ridiculous. And does that sound familiar? Do the examples that I just read, do they sound like you? Tonight, we're going to be continuing our series, "I'm Too Young, What Does God Say About Youth?" by looking at an example of a young man whose obvious faith was evident by his attitude towards his father and towards his God. So tonight, we're going to be looking at a young man in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 22, and we'll start reading in verse 5. And as you're turning there, I'm going to summarize the first four verses about what is going on. The chapter opens up, and it is made crystal clear about God's motives and what he's about to do in the rest of this chapter. It says that God is about to test Abraham. So the main theme of this coming passage is all about God's testing of Abraham. And his motives are made very clear. To us as the readers, we know that God is testing Abraham and testing his faith. But to Abraham and to his son Isaac, that motive was not completely clear. They didn't really know what God was doing, but still, God was testing their faith. And what God told Abraham to do, he said, "Take your son, your only son, the son that I promised you that from him would come descendants that are greater than all the sand on the planet and all the stars in the sky. Take that son, the only promised son, and sacrifice him. Take him to an altar, and he will be a sacrifice, and I want him to be sacrificed physically to me as his God." So if I was Abraham, what would be running through my mind is, "God, this doesn't make sense. What are you doing? Why would you take my only son?" So what he did was, Abraham got up early one morning. He gets two of his servants, and he gets his son Isaac. And they go outside, and they chop wood. And the reason they're chopping this wood is because that's what's going to be used for the sacrifice and the sacrificing of Isaac. And Isaac, at this point, doesn't know what's going on. So then, as they leave, they travel for 2 or 3 days, and afar off, they see a mountain. And Abraham turns, and he tells his two servants, "You stay here. I'm going to go up with my son Isaac, and we're going to worship God together." So this is how God was testing Abraham's faith. And he's thinking, is God really going to take my only son? So he tested Abraham's faith, but what is faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, that's known as the Hall of Faith. And in chapter 1, a definition, or at least a description of faith, is given. It says that faith is, and then it gives a definition, and it says this: that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's obeying, even though we can't see part of what's going on. When we trust in things that we cannot see, but have been promised by God, we are exercising our faith. And we're going to see tonight that faith will affect your attitude. The main theme of this passage is Abraham, but we're going to specifically look at Isaac. And trusting in God's promises will affect your attitude. It's not all about you. It's not all about what you can see. It's not all about what you can feel. It's not all about what you can taste. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than you. Your life should be all about God. That's why you're created. So let's start reading in Genesis 22, verse 5.
And we're going to start in the second half of verse 5, and it says this. And I and the lad, talk about Isaac, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. So Isaac is a lad here. It says lad, but it's probably best translated young man. So he's probably a little bit older than what we would typically think of as a teenager. But we're considering him because he is clearly a young man in this story. And guys, God has expectations for us as young people, like we've been talking about the last few weeks. So how did a young Isaac's faith affect his attitude? First thing we see in this passage is that Isaac had an uncomplaining work ethic. Isaac had an uncomplaining work ethic. Earlier in the story, we see that Abraham got him up early in the morning with two of his servants, and they went outside and they chopped wood. And then Isaac worked when it was inconvenient. He got him up early in the morning. And let me just tell you, if my dad woke me up early in the morning and told me, guess what we're going to do today? Right now, as soon as you get up, we're going to go outside and you're going to chop some wood. What would your reaction be? I'd be like, Dad, are you kidding me? Let's just say I would probably not be walking in the Spirit if my father asked me to chop wood first thing in the morning. But now we see in this passage that Isaac was loaded up with the wood for the sacrifice. Isaac not only worked when it was inconvenient, but he worked when it was difficult. The mountain was afar off, and he still had to carry that wood on his back. So Abraham laid the wood on his son to climb a mountain. Yeah, that sounds fun. Climbing a mountain with wood on my back. That sounds like a lot of fun. But yet the Bible does not record any complaints coming from Isaac's mouth. He just simply did it. And the scripture says that he actually, it says clearly that they went both of them together. So Isaac willingly went with his father to go worship God, even though he was having to carry all the wood and he was having to carry it up a mountain. They were both obeying God together. And his faith also was evident here, not just Abraham's, but also Isaac's. His faith caused him to willingly obey his father when it was inconvenient and when it was difficult. He had an uncomplaining work ethic. There was a show in the 90s, when I was growing up, makes me feel a little bit old, but it was called Home Improvement. How many of you have ever seen the show Home Improvement? All right, now, this show was all about a guy and his wife, and this guy, he was a host of a TV show. It was about tools. But the biggest thing about the show is they had three boys, teenage boys. And as you go through the show, if you watched and if you paid attention, they were constantly making the dad look like a complete moron, okay? And whenever he asked his kids to do something, they always rolled their eyes, they always had a sarcastic remark, they always made fun of their dad, and the dad was always looking like an idiot. So in one scene, the dad was raking the yard, and his son Randy walks through. And the dad stops him and he says this, "Hey Randy, I've been looking for you." And Randy says, "Yeah? Well, you found me. See ya." And walks away. The dad stops him and he says, "Okay, the reason I wanted to talk to you is because I really want to do this project with you." And he says, "It would be fun. We could do a project together." And he says, "No thanks." And walks away. Completely ignored his father. And the dad did nothing. And this is what my generation grew up watching on TV. It's in a lot of shows now as well. But guys, when your parents or an authority give you a task, can it be said of you that you accomplish it with an uncomplaining work ethic? God expects that we work without complaint, especially when the task is given to us by an authority. Abraham was given an inconvenient and a difficult command from God. He's supposed to sacrifice his son. Didn't really make sense. And then Abraham gave his son an inconvenient and a difficult task. He had to do all the manual labor to get the wood up the mountain. But Isaac did not know what was ahead, but he willingly obeyed his father. And guys, God has given us clear commands in Scripture. Very well-known passage I'm about to quote. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then in Romans 13, it talks about a different type of authority. It says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So it's talking about government, but overall, the way that we're supposed to respect authority. Does your faith affect your attitude
in the way that you respond to the authorities that are in your life. Even when it's inconvenient for you, even when it's difficult for you, do you still respond with the spirit of meekness? Because again, this is God's expectation of us. When you have to stop playing your video game, when you're in the middle of leveling up, how do you respond? When you have to put down the book that you've been reading and you're in a great part, and your parents ask you to do something, how do you respond? And some of you are laughing because you hate reading. You're like, yes, I'm done with this. But how do you respond when you have to put down your phone and stop texting your friends because your parents asked you to do something? How do you respond to that authority? Do you respond with an uncomplaining work ethic? This young man, Isaac, displayed his faith by not complaining. Do you? Because faith will affect your attitude. So it affected Isaac's attitude towards work, but it also affected his attitudes towards worship and how he was going to worship his God. Read with me starting in verse 7. It says this, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together." So not only did he have an uncomplaining work ethic, but Isaac also had a personalized faith. He had a personalized faith. Again, the main theme of this passage is the faith of Abraham, but we can see Isaac's faith being evidenced in the way he responds to his dad. Isaac questioned their provisions. He asked his father where the sacrifice was. And I would ask the same thing too. Dad, you made me get up early in the morning, chop all this wood, throw it on my back, and carry it up this mountain. But we forgot something. Where's the sacrifice? What are we going to do? We don't have anything to sacrifice to God. And if Isaac was strong enough to carry the wood up the mountain, he was strong enough to rebel against his father. But that phrase shows up again. It says that he went, both of them together. He willingly went with his father. But Abraham's response is a response that's very important through the Old Testament. He says the phrase, God will provide. He had faith that God would provide. And Isaac was satisfied with that answer. And that's one of the deepest phrases of faith in the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11, it actually says that Abraham was faithful because he believed that even if God allowed him to kill his son, that God was going to raise him from the dead. So Abraham had an amazing faith, but Isaac responded in the same way. He went together with his father. He adopted the faith that his father had so clearly taken root in Abraham's life. He made his trust in God a personal thing. He did not completely understand what was going on, but Isaac trusted God's provision. And I'm going to pause right here. I know a lot of you do have smartphones, iPads that is fine to use. Just make sure we're using them for Bibles, okay? I think I'm seeing a lot of activity besides reading of the Bible in cell phones. This is a very important time. So Isaac trusted God's provision. In December of 1777, George Washington marched his troops into Valley Forge. And the problem was, in Valley Forge, it was freezing cold. They had no food, they had no medical supplies, and they had to make makeshift cabins. They were living in these cabins that didn't hold out the weather very well at all. So his men were tempted not to trust and have faith in George Washington as their leader. A couple miles away, the British people were actually living in their homes. They were warm in the homes of the colonial people, and they were eating all of their food. So they did not have faith in Washington to provide their needs, to get them through winter. And through that winter, Washington did many things to raise the morale of people in the camp. And one of those things was he brought in warm food. Sounds like a small thing, but when someone is freezing to death, warm food raises their morale. But by the end of the spring, he had done so many things to provide for his men that they had no doubt about the leadership ability of George Washington. And they did not wonder if he could provide for them. Have you ever wondered if God is able to provide for you? You can get sidetracked by what you can see and lose sight of what God has promised in the future. God has promised us forgiveness. God is promising that he's building us a mansion. God has promised that he will return and bring us home with him. God has promised that we will spend eternity with him in heaven. But we can so easily lose sight of those things that whenever we are inconvenienced or things become difficult, we take our eyes off of God. Have you personalized your faith? Often we can question God's provisions. We can focus on what we can see. Lord, I know that you are asking me to obey, but you have not given me the ability and provided what I need to accomplish what you're asking me to do. For instance, God, I know you tell me to share the gospel, but you have not given me the personality or the speaking ability to give my testimony. Lord, I know you tell me to talk about you with my friends and encourage one another and disciple one another, but you have not provided friends for me that even want to talk about you. Lord, you have not provided a way and a reason for me to trust you. My family member is sick. If I can't even trust you with my family, how can I trust you with other things in my life? And we can focus on the things that we can see, but forget about the promises. And Isaac noticed the visible things as well. He said, we have the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice? We don't have it. And Abraham simply responded, God will provide. And again it says, they went, both of them, together. Isaac believed that God would provide what he could not see. Do you have the type of faith that Isaac had? God, I cannot see what you're trying to accomplish here, but I want to follow you. So you went, both of you, together with the Lord. Do you have the type of faith in your heavenly Father that Isaac was showing towards his earthly father and his heavenly father? Faith will affect your attitude. It affected Isaac's decision to personally trust God, but it also affected his willingness to sacrifice. Let's read starting in verse 9. This is a little bit longer of a section of verses, so I need you to pay attention. It says this in verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, for me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, and that means God provides. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So Isaac had a sacrificial attitude. Here again is the proving of Isaac's faith. Abraham told him earlier that God would provide a lamb, and in his mind he's probably freaking out, Dad, why are you tying me up? Dad, what are you doing? What is going on here? Is God really going to ask you to give me as a sacrifice? But again, Isaac did not complain. There's no complaining recorded in this passage. We still hear no complaint. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter for a voluntary death, as far as we can tell. And that's a sign of what's to come. It's pointing to Jesus Christ, that he would willingly give his life for us on the cross. Isaac was not just showing a faith in and obedience to his father. Isaac trusted God completely. He completely trusted God. He was showing complete trust in his heavenly Father. Isaac was willing to lay down his life as a sacrifice to God. His faith affected his attitude. He was willing to give everything to God. Have you ever seen one of those carnival acts where there's a knife thrower? And he's got an assistant, and their job is to stand up against the wall, and they spread out like this, and the knife thrower tries to throw knives as close to that assistant as possible without hitting them. That assistant is dumb, okay? He has to have an immense amount of faith to trust in the ability of that knife thrower. If he makes one mistake, it could cost him his life. And that guy is willingly sacrificing his physical safety for entertainment, to entertain people. And that is a completely stupid trade. There's no way that I would ever stand there, let someone throw knives at me so someone could be entertained. But Isaac was willing to lay his physical body down as a sacrifice to the Lord. So what's the application for us today? Romans 12, verse 1 makes this application for us. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is not a dumb trait. Jesus, who was God, laid down his life willingly in my place. He died for me. So why should I not be willing to live for him? It's reasonable to expect that we would do that, that we would show an attitude of gratitude for everything that God has done for us. And in verse 2, it says, one of the ways that we can do that is, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to the expectations that this world has for us as young people. That we're going to have attitudes, that we're going to talk back, that we're going to be sarcastic, that it's normal for us to disobey our parents and disrespect our parents. We are not to be conformed to the image of this world. God has expectations for our lives. So again, are you willing to give your lives a living sacrifice to God? Or is there something that you immediately think of that you are holding back from him right now? That you do not want to give to him because you know that it's going to cost you something, and that's something that you enjoy, and you don't want to give it up to the Lord. If so, you are not being a living sacrifice. Are you willing to give everything that you are to God? And I've heard it said that the problem with living sacrifices is that they're always getting off the altar. Are you getting off the altar tonight? Do you consistently get on and off the altar of your heart, giving yourself to God? God died for us. We should be willing to live for him. That means obeying him without complaint. When it's inconvenient, when it's difficult, that takes personalized faith. You cannot depend on the faith of your parents. You cannot depend on the faith of your grandparents. You cannot depend on the fact that you come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Your faith in Jesus Christ must be a personal thing. Your trust in God must be personal. Faith will affect your attitude. Your attitude's on display, whether you like it or not, whether it's a good attitude or whether it's a bad attitude. So do not repeat the story that's so common in the households of teenagers all over the world. Eye rolling, heavy sighs, and even back talk are all hallmarks of a bad attitude in teenagers. Don't let that be a hallmark of your life. Follow the example of Isaac, the young man. He had an uncomplaining work ethic. He had a personalized faith. And he had a sacrificial attitude. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the sacrifice that you did make for